Hebrews chapter 5, I want to speak with you a message, like I said, that is very important for all of us to hear. It, in some senses, can be looked at as a warning, maybe. In other ways, it can be looked at as just something to be aware of, for any one of us can fall prey to what I will talk about today. I want to speak with you a message entitled, Dull of Hearing. Dull of hearing. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Let's read this together. It says, concerning this, we have much to say. The Hebrew writer is saying, we don't know who the writer is, but some believe it may have been the Apostle Paul. It really doesn't matter. But he says, concerning this, we have much to say that is hard to explain, since you have become hard of hearing. The King James Version would say dull of hearing. You've become hard of hearing. For though by now you should be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk rather than solid food. Everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are mature. For those who through practice have powers of discernment that are trained to distinguish good from evil. Verse 11, one more time. It says, concerning this, we have much to say that is hard to explain, since you have become hard of hearing or dull of hearing. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help me to present, Lord, this message to this, your people. I pray that it would make sense in the heart and that it would speak to each and every one of us, I myself and included. And so I pray that you would have your way. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, we pray. I pray that your word would find fertile ground in our heart and that it would bear fruit for your glory. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews in your Bible was written by an author, a writer, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Even though we don't know who the writer was per se, the early church fathers, in debating who the author was, many of them believe that Paul did write it. That's why they put the book of Hebrews right after all of Paul's letters and before the general epistles. The writer per se doesn't really matter as much as the content of the letter. And the reason why it's important is this, and I just want you to hear me with your hearing ear. Listen to me. This book of Hebrews, was written not to the early, freshly baptized in the Holy Spirit church, but was actually written to second generation Christians. And so those that were the recipients of this particular letter were not those from the original 12 or those from the church in Jerusalem, but these were those who had been raised in church. Many of these second generation Christians were those that were raised inside their churches, many of them, so to say, cut their teeth in the pews, right? They have their teeth gnawed on the pews because they'd be under the pews playing around as children. They were growing up in church. And to be honest with you, in that particular day, you can only imagine how much gospel they heard. The scripture proclaims in the book of Acts that they spent a lot of time together in fellowship, in breaking of bread together, eating meals together, in prayer meetings together. And you know what? Those prayer meetings weren't adult only. The children were there. They were with their parents. They were listening. They were hearing the gospel themselves. And as this generation began to grow and as the gospel began to be presented and spread throughout the Roman Empire, during this time, after hearing so much of the gospel, some of those that had been raised in it and had been around it a lot, and they've heard it for years, had now become dull of hearing. That means that when they were first saved, they would hear the word of God and it penetrated their hearts and they just couldn't wait to get back to church to hear more of the gospel. Anybody been there before? I mean, you just get excited about hearing about the things of the Lord. There was an excitement in them in the beginning. But then as the years progressed, and as more evangelists passed through, and more Bible teachers taught, and they were hearing the word, and they were hearing the word, before you knew it, those words were not just impacting their hearts like it used to, but now it's like going in one ear and out the other. Instead of the word being sharp like a two-edged sword, it's not penetrating the same because they're dull of hearing. And I know what I'm talking about because when I was teaching at the Bible college there in Pennsylvania, we heard the gospel a lot. Back when I was a student, we had chapels every day of the week. It's like having church literally every day of the week. Praise and worship and the preaching of the word, testimonies, prayer meetings, every day of the week, including Wednesday night and Sunday night. And if you were a student in the school like I was and my wife were, like we were, you heard a lot of gospel talk. You had visiting speakers, some well-known, some unknown, but there they were. And then not only that, you would sit inside the classrooms and hear more of the word. New Testament survey, Old Testament survey, epistles of Paul, general epistles, Romans, Daniel, Revelation, Hebrews. And so you had a morning class, another morning class, then go to chapel, and then an afternoon class, and sometimes another afternoon class, go to dinner, and then on a Wednesday night, go to Wednesday night chapel. And this constantly. My first 2 years as a student, in every one of those chapels, there I was on the altar with my guitar in hand playing the guitar. I played every one of those chapels, including Sundays. I remember by my second year, one time I took note and realized I had only sat down in the pews twice. And so in that kind of environment, you hear the word. You hear good things that, but believe it or not, you and I can become dull of hearing. And where we were once excited to hear a story or we were excited to read that portion of scripture, now it's just going kind of just floating over our heads and it's not impacting us the same. And this is what is happening to this generation. They had been raised with their parents, now they're adults, they've been in church, they know they've got to do the Christian thing, right? We begin to take on Christianese. We begin to use the right words around the right people. We begin to say the right things to show we're Christians. We do the right Christian stuff. But if we're not careful, we can begin to grow dull of hearing. And this is exactly what happened here. And this is what I want to portray to you today, that we must guard our hearts from becoming dull of hearing. There was more for these to learn. The writer of this epistle is saying, we have much more to say, but it's hard to explain to you, and all the more because you've become hard of hearing or dull of hearing. We can't take the time to explain it because you're not taking the time to ingest it anymore. We have to go and re-explain it like as unto babies. He said it's like milk. And as we all know, those of us that are parents or have been parents, little babies, you don't give them meat. Eventually you start introducing some of the thicker, rice? Kind of mix or rice cereal, and then eventually you start throwing in a little bit of chunks of something thicker, and before you know it, they're eating hot dogs and hamburgers and all that when they get their teeth, right? But all of that is a sign of growth. But this church, this particular generation to whom this writer was writing, instead of them maturing and advancing in the Spirit, advancing in spiritual truths, in doctrine, they were going backwards. He says, now I've got to bring you back to milk. You can't eat heavy things. And so it was something that began to affect the heart of the writer. They had become dull of hearing. And we must be careful, even here in Center Assembly of God, that we don't begin to grow dull of hearing, but that we pray, oh God, Make my ears to be wide open and not shut. Let there be a sharpness in my spirit to hear what thus says the Lord. That the sharpness of the Spirit would not just be heard in church, but even like we were talking about earlier today in our study, that our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit will remain very sensitive and sharp, lest we become dull of hearing. The Bible gives many different stories on how this can be. I remember even talking to you a little while back about a vase. And whenever you have a vase, especially those old-fashioned vase, lamps of the back in the day with oil wicks, right? You'd fill the bottom base with the oil and you'd turn the wick up. You had your vase on top, right? Today, all we know is LED lights anymore, right? What is one of those old lamps? But those old-fashioned oil lamps is picturesque of you and me, to be honest with you. The lamp is a clear glass through which the light shines. Amen? And that's the way we are. Didn't the Bible say we are lights? We are the light of the world, the reflectors of His light. But when you think about it this way, whenever that wick, you know, the thing that you light, as you turn it up, it would burn the fire, right? To light the room. But whenever that wick would stay up long enough, it would begin to darken. And the longer the wick was without being trimmed, the blacker the smoke would get. And the blacker the smoke would get, the more it would dirty the vase. So whenever that light was shining brilliantly before, now it's all clouded out, so it's not as bright. And believe it or not, you and me are just like that. And if we're not careful and we begin to see ourselves growing dull of hearing, it's like the lamp growing darker. Amen? And what we have to do is go back and trim the wick. In other words, we need to ask God to sharpen us again. We need to ask Him to trim the wick of our hearts. Because believe it or not, we're beginning to grow hard and callous. We're not hearing the same. And we've got to ask for God's Holy Spirit to not only help us get the wick trimmed, but to get that vase and clean it up so that it's clear again. And you see, our eyes can begin to grow blind. Our ears can grow dull. And we've got to guard ourselves from beginning to allow our hearts, our ears, our eyes to grow blind, deaf, and hard. And so, the scripture brings another illustration in Jeremiah chapter 4. You can turn there if you'd like, you don't have to. But in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3, the scripture speaks as the prophet was speaking to the children of Israel and Judah. He told them, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns." In other words, it's like a farmer whose land has grown hard. It's like the farmer who has tilled the ground but has left it without putting seed. And before you know it, that ground begins to harden. It begins to grow unuseful. It's not bearing fruit except for now it's only bearing thistles or thorns or weeds. But it comes a time when that farmer decides that land needs to be used. Amen? And so what they'll do is they'll get the tractor and they'll load the thing to turn that ground over that has become hardened. Amen. So that it becomes soft and usable again. It gets those weeds and all those thorns and turns them over and gets them out of the way. Exposes that dirt to the sun. Amen. And the oxygen and all those good things to prepare the land to grow. But if we're not careful, just like Jeremiah brought out, our hearts can begin to grow hard. And we need God to break up the fallow ground of our lives again. And so the message today is really, Lord, help us not to grow dull, but rather sharpen our ears again. Lord, if our hearts are growing hard and callous, fallow, then break it up. The New Living Translation of that same verse says it this way. It says, "Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. Do not waste your good seed among thorns." It's important for us to have a heart that is prepared to receive what God has for us. Amen. Some of the definitions for fallow is obsolete. It's plowed land that is not useful. It's usually cultivated land that is allowed to lie idle during the growing season. It's not being used. It's just sitting there. It's the state or period of being fallow, the tilling of land without sowing it, or in other words, planting it for a season. It's left untilled or unsown after plowing. It's dormant, inactive. And Jeremiah said, break up that inactive, dormant ground of the heart. And so this second generation had begun to grow dull of hearing. And like I was explaining with the Bible school and all the classes and all the chapels for you and for me, it may be Sunday mornings, maybe it's radio stations, maybe it's Wednesday night, but whatever it may be careful that you don't allow your hearts to grow dull of hearing. I want you to see more of the effects of this in the book of Hebrews, and then we'll close. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, notice the wordage, how that the writer is bringing out the warnings here. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, be careful. But he says this, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we should be more attentive to what we have heard. What does heard involve? Ears, exactly. And dull of hearing, right? It says, therefore, we should be attentive to what we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken by angels was true, and every sin and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which was first declared by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bore them witness with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and with gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his own will. This writer is bringing out something that was occurring in the hearts of many in this second generation. Their hearts were growing callous. Their ears were growing dull. And he says, we should be attentive to what we have heard, lest we drift away. It's talking about a backsliddenness of heart, where a heart begins to turn away from the things of God, and all of it because of a neglect of God's word, a neglect of our spiritual lives. Look at chapter 3. And let's give you a few more here. Chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. The writer says, be attentive, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, and you depart from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In that place of a dullness of heart, or dullness of hearing and a hardness of heart, sin begins to deceive that individual. As it described there in verse 13, lest they are deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. And what happens is that sin begins to speak to that individual and begins to make excuses, doesn't it? Oh, it doesn't matter. It's not going to affect anybody else. Oh, if I do it just once, I can repent of it. I'll just cry out to God next Sunday. Amen? And we begin to flirt with sin. We begin to play with it. We begin to cuddle it. Have you ever gotten a little kitten and you start to pet it? And it starts to go, and they start to do their little thing. What's that thing called? Purr. You know, you can start petting sin and it starts to purr too. Be careful. It's the deceitfulness of sin. Sin, as you begin to play with it, begins to say, enjoy me. They say forbidden fruit is always the sweetest. And it begins to cry out, begins to say, give me some attention. And we begin to play with it and cuddle it and begin to talk softly to it. And before you know it, it's an accident waiting to happen. Isn't that true? Sin and its deceitfulness. You'll notice that whenever sin is attacking, it never reminds you of the consequences. It never tells you of the pain. It never tells you of the regret. But a dullness of hearing and a hardness of heart begins to lead us down those particular paths that we should stay clear away from. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest remains, Let us fear, lest any of you should seem to come short of it. And then last but not least, let's read chapter 5, verse 11 again. Concerning this, we have much to say that is hard to explain, since you have become hard of hearing. It's a spiral that we can get caught into. And it happens because we grow insensitive and we begin to allow ourselves to grow dull. But today, what I want us to do is to pray. Amen. Lord, take the dullness that I may have, or that we may have, or that I may have as an individual, and Lord, sharpen me up all over again. If my vase has grown cloudy, Lord, take the water of the Holy Spirit and clean it all over again. Trim the wick of my heart, where the ground of my heart has grown hard and fallow. Lord, get one of your tractors and turn that dirt all over again. Amen? That's what we need. You know, and that's going to be the work of God. If we will sincerely cry out to God for a fresh touch, a fresh sensitivity to Him and to His Word, you know what? Reading the Bible will be exciting again. Amen? Coming to church will be exciting again. Amen. Learning new things about God will be more exciting than the Broncos winning the Super Bowl. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, that's eternal. You know, those Super Bowl rings only last 1 year, man. They didn't go again last year. Oh, man. But we'll see what happens this year, right? Lord, break up that fallow ground. Help us not to be dull of hearing. Let's stand. I want us to pray where we're standing today, just because we're going to be taking communion today. It is the first Sunday of the month. We take communion to remember all that Jesus has done for us on the cross, to remember His love for us. But even that, we don't want to grow dull even taking communion. Amen? We truly want to remember all of its significance. It's a beautiful thing we remember. As I pray, I want you to pray in your hearts. I don't need to know if any of you are in that place. Maybe none of you are. But if that's the case, then pray that, Lord, keep me from ever getting there. Amen? Keep me sensitive. But if there is a callousness, if there is fallow ground, hard ground in our hearts, or if we've grown dull of hearing, Lord, sharpen us again. As I pray, you pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we acknowledge our need for you, Lord, for you know that, Lord, we are but human flesh. And because we are weak, and Lord, at times we can grow dull of hearing things, I pray that, Lord, you would begin to help us, begin to sharpen our sensitivity to spiritual truths, to who you are, to church, to your word, to the things that are more important, really, than these things that only last but a moment. And Lord, I pray if there is in any of us this dullness of hearing, I pray, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would sharpen our ears, our hearing once again in Jesus' name. That, Lord, you would help us to be sensitive to your voice. For, Lord, your word says that we will hear your voice behind us saying, "This is the way, walk in it." You said clearly, Lord, even in our study this morning, that your Holy Spirit will speak to us, will teach us, will lead us into all truth. I pray, Lord, for a sensitivity to your Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts. And if we've begun to allow things that have helped to make us insensitive to your voice, then help us to begin to see those things removed out of our hearts and lives. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would make us sensitive to your voice in this latter day. I pray that you'd give us a greater joy and excitement for the things of the Lord, to read your word and to pray. And Lord, where we have grown hard and fallow, Lord, where we need you to break up that fallow ground, I pray that you would do that through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, remind us truly that, Lord, you must have the first place. For when you are the priority, everything else falls into place. Lord, sometimes we think it's just bad luck. When in reality, Lord, we've begun to allow your priority to begin to lower. And we've begun to grow callous and things just aren't working out like they used to. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd remind us, Lord, of how it was when we were walking near to you hand in hand with the Master. I pray, Lord, that you would give us that sensitivity to your Spirit once again. Wipe, Lord, the vase clean. Trim the wick of our hearts. And make us to be a people that, Lord, are not dull of hearing, but are rather maturing, growing, able to hear things that are deeper, that are vast, that are greater than what we've heard in the past, Lord. Do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Meet your people here this morning. Lord, you know exactly where each individual is. You speak to them, Lord, in a way that you know how. Lord, you speak gently. To those that need that gentle word, speak forcefully to those that need that forceful word. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts, Lord, for you love us and you know how to reach us. And so do it, I pray, in the name of Jesus, everyone that is here this morning. And for those that will listen later on online, you speak your word to their hearts, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.